Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Good morning, friends. It is a little late start for us today because we had the tornado special here on KMOX because it's been an eventful past, 8 days or more now? I guess it's about 10 days in St. Louis after the storms that occurred 2 Fridays ago. But you have been fantastic, St. Louis. We'll tell you why in a little bit. John Hancock is in for Amy Marks-Kors today, who I believe is on the moon.
Oh, wow.
Well, I know she's on vacation. I don't know where. She's somewhere, but she's not here. She will not be here for the week. John is with me most of the days. I got Brad Young tomorrow, I think. Yeah, but you'll be here the rest of the days.
Got an important business function tomorrow.
Well, I need you to do your business.
I do, too.
314-436-7900. That's the phone number to call us. You can leave us a voice message on the Audacy app, AUDACY. You can listen to the show there and the podcast, all that stuff. We are also streaming live. If you want to look at us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We think you should because...
Not recommended.
No, you should. We are on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
It is Memorial Day, and we think about those who lost their lives in service of the country, and we will continue to do that throughout the day today, and we appreciate you being with us.
And St. Louis continues to recover from the May 16th tornado. The governor has invoked the National Guard now into that effort, and thanks to you, our tornado relief at KMOX.com/Red Cross has raised... Get ready for this.
It's great.
$226,000, and you can continue to donate. It's going to be needed. All of the money that you donate stays local right here in St. Louis and helps people recover, and that recovery is going to take a long, long time.
KMOX.com/Red Cross, as John mentioned. And the Cardinals, they stay hot, baby.
Yes, they do.
KMOX.com/Red Cross. What? That was me. Cardinals won. They swept the series.
They did. And not a bad Diamondbacks team either. The pitching staff they have over there is really strong. And the Cardinals beat 3 very good pitchers in consecutive days. 4-2 on the homestand. 16 of their last 20 they've won, and they're 7 games over .500.
But here comes the 2-1. And that's hit sharply to the right side. It's off the glove of Marte into right field. Rounding third and scoring is Jordan Walker. And the Cardinals take the lead here in the 7th inning.
How about it?
How about it?
How about it? The Cardinals, wow. They continue to just do it, man. And they are still in 2nd place in the division. The Cubs are playing well, too, but they're keeping pace with them. They're 2 games back of the division right now. They will play this afternoon, 2:05 first pitch, so it is a day game today. That means the pregame show will happen just after 1 o'clock. I got the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock. Ackerman will be with me. John Rooney is going to join the show. So a big Cardinals day, but man, they keep doing it. They're playing well, and you're right. The Diamondbacks aren't a bad team at all.
No. They lost a couple in a row when they came to town, but they threw 3 very good pitchers at the Redbirds. And how about Jordan Walker? He's been such a disappointment over the past couple of years, but here in the last week or so, his game's picking up. He's still got great velocity coming off the bat and a big, big hit for him in yesterday's ball game. So you're seeing production up and down the lineup, man, and the pitching's been very solid.
Eric Fetty is going to have to do it today. He's pitching against Baltimore. The Orioles.
Wow.
Dude, they stink.
They won the division last year.
I know. And they shouldn't be this bad.
No. And their pitching choices they made in the offseason, you know, they've already cut the former Cardinal, Kyle Gibson, who was doing nothing for them.
Yeah.
And their starting rotation's been terrible. They fired the manager. So, you know, that's a team we ought to do well against.
And those are the ones that scare me a bit.
Me too.
You know, going in facing a team that you're supposed to beat. The Cardinals, though, have done really well in those games.
Yeah.
They've done well against teams that are bad, and they've done, you know, relatively well against good teams this year.
Yeah, you know, and they could have taken 2 out of 3 from Detroit, but they didn't. But they could have lost 2 out of 3 here to the Diamondbacks, but they didn't. And so they're pulling these close wins, these one-run wins, which have been so elusive to this team the last couple of years, and you're seeing them get those.
So are you buying them?
I'm buying.
You're buying on the Cardinals?
I'm buying on the Cardinals. You know, I thought they were going to be better than people thought they were going to be going into the season. Because, you know, these young guys are doing, you know, much better for the most part. And how about this, Ivan Herrera? Wow.
I know, right?
Man, I mean, he's a legitimate power source on this team. And he's a guy, and Brandon Donovan's on a doubles pace to tie the franchise record that Matt Carpenter set.
Herrera may not be a good catcher. But he can hit.
He can hit.
And you've got to find a way to keep him in the lineup every day.
No
and they're
question.
Doing it that so they're doing exactly what they need to do with him is have him in there every day. And you know, I've talked about this a lot, that when we went into the season, it was supposed to be that transitional year. We talked a lot about runway for these younger players who were going to get the opportunity to play, and even if they struggled, they were still going to stay in because that's what this season is about. And I am all on board with that idea.
Yeah, I was too.
However, once you start winning the way they have been winning, and once you are in position to make a run at the division, and I know we're not through 2 months yet, but we're getting there. We're getting real close. That you've got to stick with that. As long as you can, as long as you can try to win, I think you have to do everything you can to win. Within reason. That doesn't mean that you trade away all of your best prospects for a guy who's only going to help you for 3 months at the deadline.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about is you play the guys who are helping you win regardless of development. And I know there's a balance that has to happen here. And I think Marmol's doing a pretty good job at you know, trying to reach that balance.
I agree.
You do want the young guys to play, but also you're trying to win.
You know, he's done a very good job managing this team. They're going to have some hard decisions at the trade deadline, though, because Ryan Helsley, who's probably not going to be back here next year, is a pretty appealing commodity that we've got, that we could get some top-level prospects, at least one, for him. And if you keep him, without question, well, almost surely you'll lose him to free agency.
See, and that's what I'm talking about, is they could be in position to add leading up to the deadline. Now, things could change here in the next, you know, 3 weeks. It could be a thing where, you know, they fall apart. That could happen to them. I feel pretty confident I know what a team is after 2 months of play. You know, and we're about at the 2 month mark here.
Yep.
And I kind of think this is who they are. However, there are certain teams that you might want to ride it out a little bit longer, that maybe you have a better idea who they are 3 months in or 3.5 months in, where the collapse could come or a team could take off, right? I think the Cardinals are one of those teams where maybe we wait a little bit longer. However, I feel pretty confident I know who they are now.
Yeah,
you know?
I do too.
So,
it's an exciting brand of baseball too that they play.
It is. So I'm right now, I'm of the mindset you hang on to Ryan Helsley. If it looks like this, you know, even if you're still a couple of games back going into the deadline, unless you are just absolutely blown away by the offer you get for him.
Well, and it's interesting because Phil Maton has proven himself to be quite an effective pitcher.
Right.
He could close games. He closed a game yesterday, pitched out of some hard luck trouble he had gotten into, but he pitched out of it. And I've been thoroughly impressed with his ball play. I hadn't really taken much note of him before the Cardinals signed him.
Right.
But, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's been doing really well. And, see, that's the thing. One of their assets is they are pitching well out of the bullpen. When you look at the team a few hours north who leads the division, their bullpen stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst bullpen, but it's not very good. That could end up costing them late, which is something you've got to consider if you're the Cardinals.
Well,
if you're the Cardinals and you are, you know, you're on pace to maybe win the division, at least be a game or so, or, you know, within a game or so late in the season. So you're in an actual division race. You might need to consider that your bullpen has become a strength. So do you want to weaken it at the deadline? I mean, that to me is going to be a really difficult call. And as of this moment, My feeling is you keep the team as is, unless things change. In the next 2-3 weeks, they just completely collapse or something. And Helsley's still pitching well. You stick with this team.
Yeah, and you know, one of the little undertones of the season so far that I've noted is in those years we were making the playoffs or just getting into the playoffs, we really weren't offensively competitive against the number one ace pitchers of any of these teams that we played. The Phillies the one year, and the Nationals the year we went to the LCS. But we've faced some really legitimate aces this season and done well against them. Even Tarek Skubal, we got to a little bit.
Yeah.
And we certainly have taken it to Paul Skeens. I mean, we've beaten him a couple times. So that's encouraging to me, because that's what you're going to see if you do get to the postseason. You're going to see that level of starting pitching, and you're either going to be able to generate some runs or you're not.
Yeah, that's why at this point, and again, I have to keep, I have to issue the caveat that this could go very poorly in the next few weeks. Good. And then you go, okay, well, that was a fun ride. But as of right now, I'm of the mindset that you keep going with this, and maybe you can make an addition at the deadline, but you do not overextend yourself to do it.
Yeah.
Because you're still thinking about the future here, and you have to. But because of the things you're talking about, them doing well against good pitching, them getting good bullpen work now, I don't know, man. I guess the only thing that would concern me, and I brought this up a few times, I get pushback when I bring it up because people say it doesn't really matter how you get outs. But the only thing that concerns me about the Cardinals is, as a pitching staff, they don't strike out a lot of people.
No, they
and
don't.
And when you put the ball in play and you're relying on good defense, which is great. It's great they've got a good defensive team. It's one of the best defensive teams in baseball.
Maybe the best.
That's great. The problem, though, is every time the ball gets put in play, no matter how good your defense is, you're asking for trouble. That's when bad things happen. So it's probably not a big deal. They can probably be a pitch-to-contact team and still win, but it's that one thing that I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, Sonny Gray's got swing-and-miss stuff, although he doesn't have the velocity that he once had. But he get 5 strikeouts in 6 innings yesterday. He had 10 strikeouts to start before. I mean, but outside of that, you don't have a lot of high strikeout pitchers.
Yeah. So I don't know. As of right now, it's working, but we'll see if it continues to do that over the next several weeks.
Indeed, we shall.
Text your thoughts in or give us a
436-7900. That's
right.
The number to text or call.
That's right. You can leave us a message if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. KT says, breaking news, it's still May. What? What? It is? Oh, my God. Thanks for telling me.
What is today, the 27th?
Yeah, it's the 26th, bro.
It's the 26th?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, still got some time. Myself. Oh, my God, it's still May. Did you know? Thanks, KT.
May's got 31 months in it. 31 days.
31 days.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you do the knuckles thing?
Yeah, the knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Sean Hancock. I'm Chris Ronji. 314-436-7900 is the phone number. It's Hancock and Ronji on KMOX. It is Memorial Day, and we are glad you are with us today. John Hancock is in for Amy Marks-Kors.
Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
I'm Chris Ronji. I want to talk about that with you.
All right.
About Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And how much you're supposed to enjoy it.
Well, it's a day to remember people that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And so at that level, it's a somber day. It's a serious day, but it's also a day that you should, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And so partake of the bounty that is the greatest country in the history of mankind.
Yeah. So this is, we'll talk about it now, actually.
Okay.
This is the question. I've seen a lot of people over the years on Facebook, social media, whatever, that they will almost chastise people for saying Happy Memorial Day or, enjoying your day, like get out there and have a great day on Memorial Day, go out and grill. And it's almost like they're offended by the idea of having a fun Memorial Day. And that always... I get it. I understand the sentiment, But I don't know that people who lost their lives in service would be upset with the rest of us enjoying ourselves on Memorial Day. Isn't that exactly the reason they fight?
Yes. And that's precisely the reason they defend the country and it preserved our freedom through their sacrifice. And we do remember them and we do thank them.
Of course.
And we think they are loved ones who were left behind. But, I mean, this is a day to celebrate our great country as well. And so I've got no problem with happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, let us know if we're not supposed to be happy today. 3-1, because we cannot be.
Yeah, it can be arranged.
If you want us to not be happy, we can accommodate you.
Yep, that can be arranged.
314-436.
Although I'm generally happy, so me not being happy takes a little work.
You're always in a good mood.
Often,
but
almost always.
I wonder about your CPAP machine.
Yes, I did not have a smiley face.
Okay, so I wonder, John,
yes,
if maybe that set your mood for you to start the day. If you wake up and you don't see the smiley face,
no,
do you automatically think, well, this is going to be a lousy day?
No. It just tells me I didn't have a good night's sleep is what that tells me. And you do kind of feel that. But attitudinally, I'm just as happy as a clam.
Well, I don't want it to. That's what I'm saying is I don't want it to negatively affect your mood.
No.
When you would otherwise have a good day.
Yeah, I'm having a good day. So far, so good.
Are you gonna grill when you go home? What are you gonna do? Are you a grill person?
I am. Although they tried to take the tongs away from me.
Why?
I had a bad run there. And
what do you mean?
Well, it's just things weren't working out so well. So Georgianne has detonged me, but every now and then I'll get out there and throw a hot dog on because you can't really screw up a hot dog.
Was it Chuck Schumer? That,
yes.
That it was posted a photo of him grilling, and yes, it was like, yes, wasn't it like raw meat and cold
fake,
cheese on top
meat.
Of it?
It was fake meat.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, man of the people, they call it.
Just ridiculous.
I tell you, we had, you know, political stuff is funny. We had a candidate for state rep, nice guy. He was a farmer, and this was years ago, and he had put his brochure together, you know?
Yeah.
I guess he had a pet llama. And so the llama is standing by the piano with his face turned toward the camera. And Sam, State Representative Sam, was standing directly behind the llama. And the llama had a look on his face like you couldn't believe. And we said, Sam, why in the world would you put that picture in your brochure? He said, what's wrong with it? I said, well, Sam. Oh, that was, so you got to be careful out
do
there.
Do you think you could find that? Do you still have one?
No, this would have been back in 97.
I would have saved that.
Yeah, well, I was put at the office somewhere.
Put that in the scrapbook.
Yeah, that was something. I used it as an example for years.
But I don't, man, I saw that, I saw the Schumer photo.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, dude, you need to retire.
Yeah, there you go.
Just, I mean, come on.
What's
man.
The relationship between Chuck Schumer and Amy Schumer? Is it like uncle, niece?
Are they related?
I think, maybe. Maybe not. 436-7900.
Yeah, if you know.
You can Google that. Drew can look that up for
you. Yeah, Drew, why don't you Google it for us? Thanks, Drew. I had never heard that before.
I think I thought I had heard it, but I could be wrong.
But he definitely needs to retire.
Yes, he's done.
There are a lot of people in Congress that need to retire. It must be really difficult to give that job up.
Yeah.
When you're in a safe seat and you know you're going to win your election every single time it comes up. It's decent money. You make good contacts.
Yeah.
Probably making some money on the side.
Yeah.
As all these Congress people and senators do.
They all seem to get pretty well healed, don't they?
We need to.
I'm the only guy I know that went into politics and came out poorer than I mean, it's unbelievable.
So what's the deal with Schumer's?
They're second cousins once removed.
I thought so. There
really?
You go. Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Well, it means you got a cousin out there.
Yeah.
And then your cousin has a cousin, and so you remove them one time, and then you got the second cousin.
I really don't know what the removed means.
Well, you're removed. You get, it's like you're a generation removed. So he's your second cousin, and he's removed.
That did not help me at all.
Yeah.
You don't even understand it, do you?
I have no idea. I do know that I'm related to a lot of famous people, though.
Like who?
Oh, man. What's her name? The singer. Taylor Swift.
You are not related to Taylor Swift.
So I'm related to John Hancock, right? And so
wait, the John Hancock?
Yeah, buddy. And so so not directly descended. I'm a removed cousin. And okay. But I'm related to him.
Okay.
So there's a website with famous people's relationships. And so they've got John Hancock. I looked it up. And it lists all the famous people that he's related to, and by extension, as am I, one of whom is Taylor Swift. I'm also related to the Bush family, George H.W. and George W. Bush.
How?
I don't know. They're cousins out there. So I'm related to Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge.
Yep. William Shatner.
William Shatner?
Yes. Yes.
Are you are these just tales that your family told you when you were a kid and they don't really know for sure?
There's a website. I used to have it up permanently.
Yeah, let me know what it is.
Read the list. I'll find it during the break.
My great-grandmother insisted that we were related to Rutherford B. Hayes.
Could well be. Could well be.
And you know what? That's exactly the kind of lie you want to tell, because it's not like saying, I'm related to Abraham Lincoln, right? You might think you're lying about that. Who would lie about being related to Rutherford B. Hayes?
He was a fine guy. He was one-term president, and I went to his house there in Ohio.
Really?
Yeah. I do presidential libraries, and they didn't have libraries for presidents that long ago. But, yeah, he was an interesting guy. Won a disputed election.
That's John Hancock, who did not win a disputed election.
No, I lost him.
Well, you know what you should have done? You should have said it was rigged.
I should have.
You should have been the first person to cry foul on losing an election.
I could have done it.
You could have made a name for yourself.
I could have made a name for myself.
That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we will talk about the Cardinals, who continue to win. They swept the series over the weekend. Matt Pauly, host of Sports Open Line, joins the show next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
I'm Alec Burleson, and you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Bird swept a series over the weekend. Got John Hancock sitting in for Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We're with you until 12 o'clock today. Then it's the Gas House Gang, Tom Ackerman and me, and John Rudy is going to join the show. Joining us now is the host of Sports Open Line, Redbird Rush Hour, which happens 5 o'clock on weekdays when the Cardinals don't interfere with that, and pre- and post-game coverage. He does all of it. It's Matt Pauly with us on KMOX. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
And it turns out, according to your grandmother, you were related to Mark Twain.
That's what we were told. So Samuel Clemens, obviously she had a whole story, so I've always believed it. So this might be true. There's a good chance this is true. The story was in my family, because Samuel Clemens is Mark Twain.
Right.
My grandmother's maiden name was Clements. There was a T in there. And she told a story that there was actually a break in the family, that part of the family kept the T and part of the family did not keep the T. And the two sides did not get along. And Mark Twain was on the side that did not keep the T.
But he added the T to Twain. When he made up his name. So it wasn't the T that he had trouble with. It must have been those family members.
I guess so.
That
is the story that, and I mean, that's a lot of information there. That's very believable.
You come from the difficult side?
The T-bearing.
I don't know which side was.
You don't know which side is the difficult one?
I think the T was initially there, and then the other side got rid of the T for some reason, like it was hard to say, or I don't know. They're the difficult. Mark Twain's the difficult side. We're the happy.
Mark Twain's the difficult side. I just went to the website John was telling me about, Famous Kin, famouskin.com, and I typed in Rutherford B. Hayes, that my great grandmother insisted we were related to him. And it turns out that I'm also related to John, because I'm related to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, me and my cousin here.
And Billie Eilish.
Yeah, and I'm not related, according to my website, to Billie Eilish, but I am related to Taylor Swift.
And Matt Damon. And Mickey Rourke.
Huh?
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Also Boris Johnson. Okay. So that's pretty good, I think.
That's not bad.
Boris Johnson. Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, good.
Ooh.
Yeah. How about the Cardinals?
Ooh, Emily Dickinson. Yeah, the Cardinals keep winning, buddy.
Yeah, that was a... So, f- for them to lose two out of three against Detroit, and it wasn't a bad series. Mm-mm. They could have won that series. That's a really, really good Detroit team, so that's okay. You lose two out of three to Detroit. To have a winning homestand after losing two out of three to Detroit, that's a fantastic week for this team, and they just keep finding ways to win games. All of a sudden, they're the team that's winning every single one-run game. You look at all three games of the Diamondback series, 4-3, 6-5, 4-3. This is so much fun the way they're playing, and more people are paying attention. The crowds were pretty good over the weekend. They were loud. Ollie told a story about how he got thrown out on the Friday game, and when Arenado snuck that triple out to left field that put him ahead, he kind of stuck his ear out the hallway just to hear what it was like out there. And I was down on the field for that when I was doing the post-game interview, and I can tell you, like, sitting down there and just hearing it, it felt the way it sounded. It sounded the way Busch Stadium is supposed to sound.
Man, that's great. And I tell you, one of the things I'm really encouraged about with this team is that they're very competitive against very good starting pitching. And that's not often been the case, even when the Cardinals were having success, in the early 2020s. They weren't so great against the ace pitchers on other teams. And this year, that's been a different story.
Yeah, I credit a lot of that to Brant Brown. It really feels like this team is putting together an individualized approach on an every single game basis. That's actually, I've thrown out the idea, I don't know if it's true or not, that's actually part of the reason I think that maybe there's some level of inconsistency with who they are offensively. At times they seem like an all or nothing team. I think they're building out a plan just about every single day to face off against these various starting pitchers, and it is really working. To your point, John, I mean, you look at the names of guys that they have had success against this year, it's an all-star team of pitchers. So it's really, really cool to see that they're doing that.
And you know what? Not only that, but they have done well against teams that are over 500. Like, the really, they've actually got one of the better records in baseball against 500 or better teams. I think there are only two other. It's the Mets and the Yankees. Those are the only two teams that have done better this year against good clubs. And I think that, beating the Diamondbacks, because Arizona came into the series over 500, they leave under 500, so that kind of hurts the record a little bit because they won all three of those games, and the Cardinals are the reason they're under 500. But they have done just really well against overall good competition. How long can they keep that up?
I don't know. I hope for a while.
It's
not an easy thing to do, to keep beating. And here's the other thing. Not only are they beating good teams, there's been times with the Cardinals where they're really good against good teams, but then they fall back against not so good teams.
Yep.
I was really happy when they played Pittsburgh and they swept them. I was really happy when they played Washington and they swept them. Teams that are not great, they're having success against. They've got another challenge with that this week or this, starting today against Baltimore. Now, I would argue Baltimore is a lot better than their record would indicate. They don't have a whole lot of pitching, but they got a lot of hitting. They should not be 18-34. They've already fired their manager. So we'll see what they do. And they're just coming off a good series win. They just, those series split. They played four games against the Red Sox and split. But in Boston, that's a pretty good series for them. So I understand what you're saying, and it's really important to go out and have success against good teams, but it's just as important to go out and have success against not so good teams, and they've been able to do each of those things.
How about Ivan Herrera? This guy, he's doing otherworldly things at the moment. I think he's got more RBIs than games played, something like that. I mean, he's been really something.
His numbers are stupid. He's almost hitting 400. He's a .391 hitter. He's slugging almost 700. His OPS is almost 1,200. Of his 27 hits this year, 11 of them have gone for extra bases, 6 doubles, 5 home runs. You mentioned the RBIs, 25 RBIs in 21 games played. It is incredible. He's a middle-of-the-order, run-producing bat. He's kind of stabilized the DH spot, because that's a spot that the Cardinals had not been getting any success out of, really. And he's going to catch a little bit. But, guys, I like him in that DH spot for a couple reasons. A, he's not the best defensive catcher. Secondly, we have seen, because of that, Oliver Marmol in a close game is going to want to remove Herrera from behind the plate and put Páez in there for defense. So if there's an if there's a situation where that happens, then all of a sudden the opponent ties it up, you take Herrera's bat out. So you're always risking that if you've got him behind the plate. And then I like the way the roster alignment is right now. I think it's okay to look to the future as well. And at some point, Jimmy Crooks is going to be here. Jimmy Crooks could get here this year. And I don't want to see the Cardinals move on from Ivan Herrera, obviously. I think Pedro Páez is just the absolutely perfect guy for that role. So if you're eventually going to have Jimmy Crooks, you want to be able to have a roster alignment that allows all three of those guys to be on the roster, and I think we see that right now.
Speaking of the future, Jordan Walker on the homestand had a pretty good one, 6 of 14, drove in 5 runs during the homestand. Do you think you're seeing signs of maybe him starting to figure it out a bit, or is this just a good stretch for him?
Yeah, I'm not trying to not answer your question, but I don't know, and nobody knows. That's the key thing here. Now, it was really good to see what he did. He's got 4 hits over his last 2 games. He's got 3 RBIs over his last 2 games. I mean, there's obviously steps forward. There was a game, maybe it was in the Kansas City series, when he got a base hit, a big hit, that Oliver Marmol said, there was a specific tweak they'd been working on, and they feel like that might have unlocked something. Since the Kansas City series, let's see, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He has 8 hits over his last 8 games. So, hit a game right now for him. I hope he has everything you need to be a superstar type player. When you look at the underlying numbers with, his ability to hit the ball hard and the swing, how fast he swings and everything. So, I don't know. I don't know. We've seen it a million times where a guy has a good day, a good week, a good month, and then all of a sudden it turns into nothing. We've also seen it a million times where that is the start of something. So I hope it's the start of something. I just can't sit here and tell you that it is.
With Herrera back now and taking most of the days at DH, the one guy we're not, I don't think, going to be able to properly evaluate this year is Nolan Gorman, because they couldn't trade Arenado in the offseason. I just don't see very many options to play Gorman on anything like a consistent basis unless somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the thing. If everybody's healthy, you're right, 100% right. But you don't go through 162 games. Like today, Arenado's not in the lineup. Contreras is back in there today, which is good to see. But Arenado, after taking that spill into the stands on that great catch yesterday, he's not in there. So Gorman's going to get the start at third. I would suspect that we are going to, at some point in time, see an extended run for Gorman. And I think let's go to a hypothetical situation for a second. Let's say that what we're seeing right now from Jordan Walker is actually the start of something. That shows the value. They talk so much about runway, and I know people are sick of hearing that term, but there's the value in it. If Walker actually has turned the corner here, in large part, he's been able to do it because he's been in the lineup so often. At some point, you do want to give that chance to Gorman. But, John, you're 100% right. If everybody is healthy, there's not room at the end right now for Gorman, especially with Herrera in there and Alec Burleson swinging the bat that he's been swinging. It's at time tough to keep Walker in the lineup because you want to put Burleson out in right field. So these things do tend to work themselves out. But right now, outside of this Arenado thing, and we'll see if he's going to be out for an extended time or not. I don't think he's going to be. But at least Gorman does get in there today.
So, Matt, we were talking at the beginning of the show about, the conversation went the direction of what the Cardinals might do at the deadline. And we're still a couple of months away from that. But let's say they are right here where they are now, a couple of games behind the Cubs. And still playing pretty good baseball. The Cubs are playing good baseball right now. I think on paper, the Cubs are probably a better team. They have bullpen issues, but otherwise, I think they're a better team. Let's say they are in this position. Do they stick with what they have? Do they still entertain the idea of trading somebody like Ryan Helsley? What do you think they do, and what should they do?
I think what they should do and what they probably will do is, if they're right there, I don't think they're trading Ryan Helsley. I don't think they're trading Eric Fetty. But I also don't think they're going out there and making a big splash at the same time. They may go out and, the bullpen could probably use another veteran, consistent guy that in a pinch can be used in leverage, but more often than not is just a more reliable arm than what you're getting right now, kind of at that final bullpen spot, whether that's been, you know, Chris Roycroft or Matt Swanson, who it is right now, whoever it might be. So that's the only area I like this team. And you know, maybe something happens from an injury standpoint where you need some starting pitching, because the depth just does not exist right now in starting pitching. You've got one guy at AAA who could start right now. Eventually, it'll probably be two when Quinn Matthews is back pitching right now. You would think that there's still a good chance he makes his big league debut this year. So maybe there's an outside chance they go out and get a starter. But more than anything else, I think they stand pat, maybe adding a little something to the bullpen.
I'll tell you who I've liked out of the bullpen, and I know they want him as a starter, but I've really liked him out of the bullpen, is Gordon Graceffo. His stuff is...
I don't think they do want him as a starter. Okay. I would push back on that.
Okay.
Now they've had him starting at Memphis, but more than anything else, that keeps him on a schedule and that keeps him stretched out, and that lets him work all his pitches. I think they view him as a bullpen piece long-term in the big leagues.
Well, and I tell you what, he could be effective. His stuff... In short spurts, his stuff's pretty good.
Yeah, the velo goes way up when he's pitching out of the bullpen, and he needs that to be successful at the big league level. So it's been a little hit or miss with him. You know, we saw him in those back-to-back games when he picked up his first career save against Pittsburgh, and he had pitched the day before, and he held velo the next day. That's been good. Hasn't looked quite as good his last two outings. He's given up runs in each of them. One of them was a two-inning outing against Kansas City where he just had to get those final outs and get on out of there. But generally, I'm a Gordon Graceffo guy. I talked about him a lot during spring training. I think he's got a bright future in the bullpen for the Cardinals.
All right, Matt Pauly, are you on pregame today or just postgame or both?
Pregame right. And postgame.
Will there be a Redbird rush hour? Or is there time for it?
There's probably not time for Redbird rush hour, and I do get the night off from Sports Open Line for the holiday. So, once we are done with Cardinals coverage for the night, that will be it for me.
But we still do have Sports Open Line tonight.
No
open line at all. Wow.
No, I think there's a replay of the Redbird Rush Hour and then a CBS News Memorial Day special.
All right. Sounds good.
Sweet.
Matt Pauly, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Pre-game coverage, we have it here at 1:10. 1:10 to get started with the ball game at 2:05. Cardinals play in Baltimore today. And don't forget, you can still donate. KMOX.com/Red Cross. All of the money stays in the St. Louis area for those affected by the tornadoes about a week and a half ago. It's John Hancock with Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Did you see this with Chris and Amy?
No, Amy. She's on vacation. John Hancock is here.
She gets a lot of vacation.
Dude, she must have 6 months of vacation. She's like Letterman when he was in his prime, you know?
Yes.
I got so much vacation time. All right, so this is a absolutely insane story.
All right, bring it.
Did you see the, hopefully you didn't see him, but a man has been accused of exposing himself in Forest Park?
No.
He was doing it around kids and around women.
Ooh.
They finally did catch him, but the first incident happened in the middle of May. It happened about 10 or 11 days ago at the fish hatchery inside the park, which, by the way, I didn't know we had a fish hatchery.
Huh.
Where is the fish hatchery?
It's in the
Well, it's in Forest Park, but where?
It's in the water.
Well, yeah, of course it's in the water. That's the only place the fish can live.
That's where they get hatched.
So he was exposing himself there. And then again on May 21st, the police were called again for similar incidents, one near the Grand Basin, where he followed a woman, and then he ran off toward the zoo. She called the police. The police showed up. His name is Joshua Zinzel, 41 years old.
Wow.
He's the suspect, Joshua Zinzel.
What do you do to somebody like that? I mean, you can't put him in jail?
Yeah, I don't know for how long, but yeah. Oh. Kind of have to. And then they come out, then they're a registered sex offender.
Right.
And everybody gets to know where you live.
Mm.
So they know to stay away from your house.
Well, you've got to be mentally, you've got to be messed up to do that.
Well, clearly,
yeah,
something definitely wrong with a guy.
Right.
Also, John, what is going on with prisons and jails these days? because people are getting out of them very quickly, very easily, it sounds like. First of all, we had the deal in New Orleans.
Right, 10 people.
10 inmates escaped. Yeah. They recovered some of them, but some are still on the loose. Now we have this story out of Arkansas. A former police chief in Arkansas who was on a 30-year sentence for murder and rape got out of prison. The Stone County Sheriff's Office has said this. His name is Grant Hardin. He's 56 years old. He's been in prison since 2017. And he fashioned some sort of outfit that made it look like he was law enforcement. And he just walked out of the prison.
Wow. That's not good.
This guy was a police chief.
Yeah. Huh. Well, the New Orleans folks had inside help.
Yeah.
But sounds like this guy just, you know, sometimes, I don't know. We had the jail over here, you know, where the locks didn't work. Remember just, that? Yeah, it was like Otis checking himself in for the drunk tank on the Andy Griffith Show, you know. And he just let himself in and let himself out.
I'm thinking of My Blue Heaven with Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Where he was a real good, he was a schmoozer, but he was in jail and he just slid the door. They just let the door open. He had a whole setup in there. He just opened the door at his leisure.
Yeah.
Whenever he wanted to walk out.
Yeah. I don't know, but we got to have better security at these prisons.
Why does this keep happening?
It's not good.
The whole point of the jail is to keep you in.
Yes, I know.
Don't they have barbed wire and stuff?
Razor wire? They should. Whatever happened to the president was going to reopen Alcatraz. I haven't heard about that.
Oh, is that over?
I don't know.
We did get a nice Memorial Day message from the president today.
Yeah, I saw it.
I'll bring it to you a little bit later, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
He had a nice Memorial Day message. His wife had a different Memorial Day message, and I'll let you decide who issued what. I'm going to read them both to you. I'm not going to do it now. We'll do it next hour, okay?
I can hardly wait.
And we'll read them both to you, and you can determine which one came from the president and which one came from the first lady. That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. Don't forget, we are still raising money for the Red Cross in conjunction with them and Fox 2 for tornado relief. It is KMOX.com/Red Cross. All the money stays right here in the St. Louis area. John, we're doing very well.
Y'all are doing great.
St. Louis is doing great. Almost $228,000 have been donated by you. Great, great work, St. Louis. And they'll need every dime of that. It's the Chris and Amy Show with John Hancock today on 104.1 FM KMOX.